News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
Fair play to the lads.
They didn't buckle under it.
Mind you, if there is one county in the country that's happy to wear the mantle of favourites, you've got to say it is Cork.
Yeah, I don't think anyone would argue with that, but it is a fantastic day for Ireland and every congratulations to the two lads from Skibbereen. Gold for Skibbereen this morning on News Talk Breakfast. We are delighted, delighted when we woke up to find out the news. And for more on this and many other things as well, I am joined now by Taoiseach Micheál Martin. A fair comment there by Shane about people from Cork, but I'm sure, Taoiseach, you were thrilled yourself when you found out.
I'm so happy about it. I think it's a fantastic achievement for the two lads, for Paul and for Fintan, for their families. I think the extraordinary commitment that young people put into their sport today is something to behold. It is extraordinary perseverance, hard work, bit of opportunity, avoidance of injury, all of that. They were, as you say, tagged as favourites going in, which can be very, very difficult. They held their nerve. They were psychologically brilliant throughout this. And they've won a fantastic achievement for them, for the rowing community of Ireland. I think this will inspire generations to come, to go underwater, to engage in rowing as a great sport. And to the people of Ireland, it's a proud moment.
I have no doubt to the people of Cork, it's a particularly proud moment too.
I remember I was down in Skibbereen for the silver medal reception, pre-COVID days, of course. And it was just fantastic. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful evening of celebration as we walked through the streets of Skibbereen. I can only imagine what it will be like in the days, weeks and months ahead, because it's a great for West Cork and for Skibbereen as well. It's just a marvellous, marvellous occasion.
Shane did mention there that it is only the seventh time we have won gold. Do we need to do more by way of funding or support or mentorship programmes to actually maybe improve our chances going forward for further medals?
Yeah, I think over the last 30 years has actually been very substantive capital investment in sport. We need to do more. I think rowing is a good example of that, with the headquarters in Farran and that development of a centre of excellence for rowing. Way back that was developed, and I think that has helped in terms of, you know, the national
teams.
So
we're targeting things like rowing, boxing.
Yes, exactly, yeah. No, by the way, I mean, let's always remember, everybody who participates, from my perspective, in the Olympics, I think each and every one of them, they can't all win medals. It's a wonderful achievement to be in the Olympics. It's a wonderful achievement to represent your country, to wear the green jersey. And for each individual, if you don't win a medal as well, I think it's something we should celebrate and just urge and encourage our people to do their very best. I think that's what Fintan, Paul said this morning. You know, we just do our best and we hope it's the best of the best. And I think that's it. We keep it simple. I don't like putting pressure on saying, oh, we have to get a hoard of medals.
But you know what Team GB did focus and do all of that, and a massive investment too.
You got to focus on your strengths, and we're improving. You know, Monica McSherry is really creeping up on the swimming, doing very well. Just a thought for Sunita Prosperi as well.
I mean,
very, very difficult day for Sunita, because she was there going back to 2012 and has put an enormous amount of work in. And you know, there are ups and downs in life and in sport. And when we have that in the one day today in terms of rowing. But yeah, we are, and we have focused a lot. We need to continue to focus. I think we're doing better in sports science, for example. I think our universities and our institutes of technology have really upped their game in terms of sport and all of that. And I think we do need to marry more our strengths in science and our strengths in sport to get optimal outcomes for individuals in sport in terms of physical endeavour.
Let's move on to I suppose, less edifying things than us winning an Olympic gold. But Neffet's briefing last night, another positive story. I think it's fair to say, it is as optimistic as I ever remember the CMO, Dr. Tony Holohan, being in a press briefing, talking about the potential to ease restrictions. First of all, your reaction to that, but also, if we are going to start easing restrictions, what restrictions will we ease first?
Well, we have eased restrictions. I mean, quite substantially.
Going forward, though.
Yeah, but I just want to make this point. I think it's important that we take stock coming out of the Christmas period and that terrible alpha wave. And then we've progressively, sensibly and in a sustained way, reopen society. No, there are a whole range of indoor activities that we've got to look at in the coming period, and also live entertainment and that industry, which has always been a very severe casualty of COVID-19.
But headline on the front of the Irish Times this morning, Taoiseach, live music sector in danger of collapse. And we're hearing that over and over again, that they are particularly vulnerable.
Absolutely. Well, hospitality has been particularly vulnerable. Tourism and travel, more generally.
But we have international travel back. We have indoor dining back. So where do we go from here?
But it's going to take a long haul to get travel back to where it was pre-pandemic. And I think where we go from here is we look at all the remaining areas where we have restrictions, take public health advice, and look to progressively open them up. We've just done indoor dining. We have to see how that plays out. We've done travel. And I think the indoor sporting area is one, for example, which I think we do have to prepare for in terms of certainly the September period onwards. We do have to look at live entertainment. But let's do it in a sustained way. That means we don't go back. And I've been saying this now consistently for the last number of months. What we open, we want to try and retain. Now, there was a lot of an effort, or not so optimistic 2 or 3 weeks ago with the modelling.
Were they too pessimistic 2 or 3 weeks ago in view of how well we have done?
No, I think sometimes behaviour switches on in terms of when people see the alarm bells. We saw what was happening in the United Kingdom in terms of the numbers going through the roof. I spoke to Nicola Sturgeon, who says this Delta variant will rip through your unvaccinated population. I think we've avoided super spreader events in Ireland. They had a number of those with the Euros. I've no doubt about that. It's good news that the UK seems to be flattening and coming down, you know, over the last while.
Scotland,
European countries.
And I take your point that
I think it makes sense that we didn't create a super spreader situation with Delta variant.
A super spreader event. I take your point. We haven't had another Cheltenham, or we haven't had another yeah, you know, Euros or what have you.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure that I would agree with you that people in general have upped their gear in terms of adhering to restrictions. Everywhere I go, I see people out and about, and I'm not sort of sorry to see them either.
No, what I mean by that is that generally speaking, when people see alarm bells coming around the corner on COVID, they actually do, surveys have shown this, they do just modify and adjust behaviour
a little bit,
in the right direction. But the key point will be vaccination, and that's what Neffet are saying.
And I do want to get to all the stuff about vaccination, but just with regard to the easing of restrictions, for example, the GAA, the All-Ireland Finals are coming up next month. Will we see 40,000? Will we see half capacity in Croke Park?
We will see increased numbers at the semi-finals.
40,000?
I'm not going to give you a specific here. Jack Chambers is working with the Gaelic Athletic Association on that, and he's working with FAI and other sporting bodies in terms of various fixtures that are coming up in the next 6 weeks.
What about college campuses? I mean, that group, if they don't get back on campus, it'll be their third academic year semi-destroyed.
I'm very determined that we get students back on campus. To be fair to Mr. Simon Harris, he has prepared a plan in that regard. It was brought before Cabinet the week before last. We're very determined. I know Eamon Ryan, likewise, and Leo, all very committed to the idea that students have life back on campus. It has been, I think, a very terrible 2 years for third level students in the context of
third level children, and they've lost 2 years. Devastating to see it.
And now, you know, some are going, we'll go back to third year, back into internships. You know, we all know the campus is the key to university and third level experience institute, because you meet others, you engage with people.
Tisha, what about masks?
From different disciplines and so on like that. We will be resourcing the third level sector to get the students back on campus.
Antigen testing and all of that?
Yes. I mean, the pilot antigen has already started in respect of third level. And we want to make that a part of an extra additional tool to facilitate the return of students to third level education.
Tony Holland talking about the easing of restrictions, but just what with regard to masks, what, you know, when I look around News Talk now, almost all of us in here in the office are doubly vaccinated. So almost the entire office would now be considered as safe as we can be. Yet we all wear masks when we walk around. We all do all those things. At what point will you say, for the vaccinated, maybe, that things like that might be able to be done away with?
I still wear a mask in certain occasions and I'm not bothered about it. I genuinely think we need to just proceed in a careful way. The next worry will be what happens in winter time. How long is the efficacy of the vaccines, the booster vaccine, which we are now preparing for, essentially.
Yeah.
And NIAC have given advice, but I've known this for quite some time. Europe has already is preparing for 2022 and 2023.
I know you've said there will be no Freedom Day, that you're not going to I suppose mimic what's happened in the UK, but we said we would look at the UK, and the UK have actually done well. They did open up, they eased restrictions, and the case numbers have fallen. Are the Irish people not entitled to a Freedom Day?
Well, see, I think they all just talk about Freedom Day. To me, if you look at the last pandemic 100 years ago, it didn't end one day. It will peter out.
But is
in
this,
time,
is
or
this
we will adapt
the
to
end?
Live with it. I think we're in a new phase of it. I think some people would say we've got to see what happens in the depths of winter in terms of new variants or new viruses and so on like that. But I think beyond this winter, I think we're certainly in a much stronger position. We're in a much stronger position now going in to the autumn than we could have possibly thought. I can recall conversations with aviation, and they were talking about September that they would be flying again, or August, September. And I kind of said to them at the time, I remember early summer saying, why are you saying August, September? It could be sooner.
Okay.
And likewise with other sectors.
Lastly,
of the economy.
On
could I just make this final point? Doing it the way we're doing it, it's better for the economy, better for society, and better for every sector. Because if you derail it all, if you come off the rails at any stage of this, everybody suffers again.
Okay.
So it makes absolute sense what we're doing. We've one of the best vaccination programs in the world.
We do, and I really do want to get to it. I want to ask you one last question about restrictions, because I asked yesterday on social media, what would people like to ask yourself, the Taoiseach, if they had a chance? And I cannot count the number of questions. It was in the hundreds of people, men and women, saying maternity restrictions. They're still in place in many of the hospitals. And the couples affected and the women affected feel extremely distressed by them.
It's unacceptable at this stage. We have made it very clear to the HSE. The HSE, to be fair, at senior level, have made it clear to the hospitals. The guidelines have issued. Given the level of vaccination and given where we are, there shouldn't be those restrictions on partners of mothers in maternity hospitals across the country, or indeed for scans and so
on. One woman said, I should give birth in a pub so I can have my partner with me. There does seem to be inconsistencies about what we're allowed and not allowed to do.
There are inconsistencies in terms of the individual local clinical autonomy being applied. And the HSA have been endeavouring to get cut through that and say, listen, there's a national set of guidelines here. We want maternity hospitals to abide by them. It's not fair. To the women concerned, or indeed their partners.
Let's get on to vaccinations. First of all, let me say, I think credit is due to both the government and to the HSE. I think our vaccine rollout is impressive, and I would defy anyone to say other than that. But some of the latest news on vaccinations, for example, the 12 to 15 year olds, we had Professor Paul Moyna on this morning discussing vaccination, and he, who would be a professor of immunovirology and is clearly a pro-vaccine person, said that we need to ring a note of caution around vaccinating our young children because of the differing sort of risk-benefit ratios as you get younger. What's your position? Karina Butler seemed quite nuanced. She was saying, you know, definitely get it if you're vulnerable, definitely get it if you live with the vulnerable, but sort of said after that, it's a choice. Is the government recommending parents to do this?
Yeah, but we're very anxious to also, we're encouraging parents, but we want choice for parents in respect of children. I respect that. But that said, NIAC and Karina Butler are clear that the vaccines are safe. The European Medicines Agency is clear the vaccines are safe.
There is some question around these myocarditis cases.
There are. But again, they're rare and recoverable from. But if I just make the point, I also listened to children yesterday on radio. It's quite interesting. And their view is we sometimes underestimate the anxiety of children and young people in COVID times. And quite a number of the children said, I want to get the vaccine because I would feel...
But is that an appropriate response? We should listen to the children that we frightened children are not at significant risk from COVID. Another thing Paul Moyna said, he said, it's probably about 1 in 20,000 children would suffer with that kind of multi-system inflammatory response that we see, that terrible tragedy where a child gets very sick. 1 in 20,000. He was quoting 1 in 3 to 6,000 young people getting myocarditis from a vaccine. I am not an immunovirologist.
That's not the figure I have.
My concern is that we need to get it right for people, despite being pro-vaccine.
Yeah, he's been a very, in fairness, constructive and informed contributor. But we have a National Immunisation Advisory Committee. And you have to have structure in the country. I'd be straight up with you on this one. And I think the National Immunisation Advisory Committee had been cautious and conservative throughout, rightly so, in terms of the seriousness of advising on vaccines and humans taking vaccines. You know, historically, vaccines have been the great game changer. Vaccines and children are not new. We are facilitating individual choice by parents. I think what we can do as a government is provide the maximum amount of information to parents so that they make an informed choice and that there's informed consent. And the online portal that will be available for parents is facilitating parental consent in respect of their children, which is the right thing to do.
Most things, you know, we vaccinate children against, things like meningitis, things like hemophilus, all those kinds of conditions, things like measles, they kill children. COVID does not tend to kill children.
No, but it can have impact on a certain number, as we know with long COVID. And let's be honest, there's further research will probably reveal further impacts of COVID over time. And that could be another piece in terms of our health policy, in terms of what is the long-term
impact
of COVID.
Will you vaccinate your own children?
Well, they're vaccinated.
They're vaccinated already.
They're of a higher age now. I don't have kids under 20 anymore. So they grabbed the Janssen when it was available in the pharmacy.
As did my own.
And again, it was that sense of, you talked about freedom earlier, they wanted to get the vaccine because they want to do things, you know?
And I appreciate all those. Yeah. Let's just move on to something entirely different. The appointment of Catherine Zappone as special envoy to the UN for freedom of expression. You have said that, first of all, you didn't know about it in advance and that procedure wasn't followed in the way you would have liked, but that we should draw a line under it. Why should we draw a line under it? Is it not important that procedure is followed in a correct fashion when Ireland refers and supports the sort of the position that Catherine Zappone is now going to have?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I think at the cabinet meeting on Tuesday, there were far more substantive issues.
I accept that.
Yeah, and I think everything has to be looked at in perspective. And then people leak various things. I'm not responsible for that. And Martin said this, or the Taoiseach was that. Clearly, procedure wasn't entirely followed in terms of three-party. We have agreements that if people are being appointed, we give each other a heads up in terms of names and so on like that. The Minister for Foreign Affairs, very quick after the meeting, he's apologised. He accepts that, as does Leo. There's no issue with Catherine Zappone herself in terms of being a former senior minister, being a person who's a strong advocate in terms of freedom of expression, LGBT plus issues. So that's the context. I mean, my big issue before the cabinet actually was the National Development Plan, making sure there was enough funding for school buildings for the next 10 years.
I accept it isn't the major issue, but I understand.
Perception matters. I accept that.
And politics can blindside you.
Could have been done better.
But people are criticising Fine Gael for doing this, Simon Cove and Leo Varadkar, but they're criticising you, Taoiseach, for your reaction to it, that you perhaps didn't get more irate with your coalition partners.
Look, I believe in balance. I believe in perspective in life. And I'm very clear on that. To me, there was much bigger fish to fry that meeting, believe me. And I was very happy with the outcome in terms of the largest ever capital investment in the history of the state, but also in terms of it's the largest capital programme across Europe. That matters to people on the ground. People want schools built. They want their health facilities built. Michael McGrath has done a fantastic job. We got the ceiling sorted out. Two very important pieces of legislation. I'm amazed. I mean, remember all the furore about Davies and all the rest of it and about Sears. That legislation was put through cabinet. In terms of individual responsibility in financial services.
And I would agree.
And a new corporate enforcement authority
more,
as well.
Much
and the vaccines that we've just spoken about. I mean, I think health had five or six memos at that cabinet.
Much more important issues.
The ground. So, but nonetheless, lessons learned. We have to take on board how people react to this, the perception of this and so on.
Will envoys be appointed in the same way going forward?
No. And that's very clear. And lessons have to be learned in that respect. And we will learn them.
And last question for you, Taoiseach. Will you be leading Fianna Fáil into the next general election?
Yes. Right. For the upteen time.
Thank you very much for speaking to us on News Talk Breakfast this morning. That is on Taoiseach Micheál Martin.